connected to CNN Network.
We made it to Friday. W8RCY. Whiskey number 8, Foxtrot United. Good morning. We made it to Friday. W8RCY. Hey, Crave is opening soon, according to their sign. And that sign's been up for how long, plus the website saying the same thing? I'm getting quite discouraged. But I did hear you say something yesterday. It looked like there was a food service delivery truck of some kind in the lot. No, just the truck. There's a truck in the back, by the back door, which was new. I go by it every day. So I don't know if they were working on it or whatever. Not a food delivery truck. But, I don't know if you remember Janet that used to work at Ramshorn. She now works at the Cozy Cabin. And we were talking about it the other day, and she said that, she goes, they're never going to open. Apparently it's the same owners. And I don't know why she says that, but she goes, they're never going to open. Like, they got a lot of money invested in that for not opening.
Yeah, you mentioned before to me that she was there, and I said, yeah, I believe that's the girl that goes to Las Vegas, and I could be wrong, and thank you for correcting me on the truck that's there now. But, when you say the owners, the only one that could be the one up in Lapeer, because like I said, mentioned before, the logo's the same, the basics of it from the place up in Lapeer that I've been seem to be the same. But yeah, I mean, this is just taking way too long to open. I mean, if she can get a gas station up in a hop, skip, and a jump amount of time, and that's, you know, with all that entails a structure like that from the ground up, and these people are taking over an existing place that's been there forever, yeah, I could see it. But will I say never? No, but they are taking way too long for my case, and I've almost lost interest in it now.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. I don't know if Janet was a regular at Vegas. That doesn't ring a bell with me. But, yes, it's the same people as the Crave and Lapeer, but those are also the same people that owned Ramshorn. So, you know, there you have it. Sheets had to, they had to literally raise another building and do all the ground, you know, maintenance and all that stuff and haul that away and then ground up. So, yeah. But I'm looking. They've got plants in there and stuff and, you know, things that require regular care. And the landscaping's all done. I mean, it's they've gone beyond just the facade, and I don't know what their holdup could be, but I look forward to it still. I just, you know, I'm sure in due time they have their reasons for not opening.
Yeah, we have a little space in there. And you're right, but. You know, like I say, you drive by it more than I get by it, and so my way is really looking at just at the internet, and I look at it like now once every two or three days, and nothing changes. Versus back in June, even May, I think it even said opening soon before that. I checked the web page every couple of days, but I did not know that the Crave and Lapeer was still owned by, you know, are owned by the same people that own Ramshorn. So this is going to be interesting as well. Sounds like an upscale version of what Ramshorn used to be or still is, if there's any left around. I know some of the Ramshorns, the only one I know of actual Ramshorns that are still around, the one on Utica, north of Grosbeck, between Grosbeck and Masonic there.
Yeah, there's a few. But, and yeah, I know the one you're referring to. That one's pretty nice. But this one was never part of that chain. I you know, when you would go to the Ramshorn website, they would never include that one. And I come to find out that they were keeping the name and the menu and everything, but they weren't really part of the Ramshorn chain anymore. So I don't know, maybe that's why they had to change it. They had so much time to, you know, that they would allow them to run it, to get on their feet as Ramshorn or something, I don't know. The problem is there's no continuity if you're just allowing them to run with the moniker to get on their feet, then to shut down for as long as they have, you lose all that momentum. So, you know, they clearly lost all their staff, so they're going to have to restaff. Janet says she would never go back there. She loves working at Cozy Cabin, so there you have it.
Yeah, but, you know, like I say, the history of the name, the history of the restaurant, I remember, like, one at just on Gratiot north of 12 Mile was, like, one of the first ones I ever remember being around in Roseville. And then they built one in the area of 16 and Harper from the ground up, kitty corner to the old Farmer Jack's store there. And then there was one on Grosbeck in that abandoned complex where the bowling alley is, Fountain View, and the comedy club and all that. That was a Ramshorn originally, and then it became, at the time of my divorce, because this is where my ex-wife was working, the Horn of Plenty was what it was called, but that was originally on a Ramshorn as well. So I did not know that if you had, you could either, you know, you had the chain of Ramshorns, or you can get, like, your own individual franchise. And that's a whole different story there. And maybe that's why the one at on Utica there in Frazier has a different setting to it, even though the name and the menu are the same.
Yep. Boo. Well, I spent a lot of time in Ramshorn. Not so much the one over your side of town. I've been in that one at, 12 and Gratiot a number of times where Wells worked, Mark Wells. And this one right here that's turning into a craze. God, I, you know, grew up in that one. Remember that nugget? It used to be the Salvatore Scallopini's used to be a nugget. We spent a lot of time in that place.
'70s. Let's see. I got my driver's license in '72, so I would probably say. The Nugget, McClock, what was the other big name back then? I'm trying to think from the east side. Timmons Restaurant, 12 and Harper, was another kind of like 24-hour diner, Ramshorn type place. There's one other one, but it wasn't really a chain. It was just an independent restaurant down by 8 Mile and Harper, across from the old Don Gooley Cadillac, the original site of Don Gooley Cadillac. I think it's where the National Coney Island sits now, because I believe they demolished it to build a Coney Island there. A place called the Round Table. That was really a nice little spot back in the 70s. But yeah, there's been a lot of restaurants between 1972 and when I pretty much left the shores in 1985 or so altogether, walked away from it. I mean, I was married by then, and I was living out in Chesterfield in the same subdivision where Joanne lives now. Matter of fact, that street down Donner was originally a dirt road, and one of the first model homes. There were only 5 model homes built, and about 7 actual homes were built, and I was the third person to move into that subdivision. But places like Strawberry Fields that I know you've been to was originally called Fields. And I also remember there was a Ramshorn out there, but I can't remember exactly where it was.
You named another one that you said, oh, yeah, I remember that one. But I didn't go there a lot. But I'll tell you, speaking of older restaurants that are no longer around, I really miss Silverman's. And I know you were connected to that, so you don't have to remind me, but I do miss that place. That menu.
That had to be the most extravagant menu, the Silverman's menu, of the restaurants that were fielded out this way. Sambo's and Seasons were the other two. But, yeah, that Silverman's, Robert Silverman was really a cool, cool guy, because, I mean, he had 7 or 8 restaurants around the area, and furthest one south was in Eureka, in Taylor, across from the no longer existing Gibraltar Trade Center down there, and the last thing that was in there was a Hooters, and I know that's gone now, but same location right off the freeway there. Yeah, that was a very, very extravagant, wide area of items on their menu for sure, no doubt about it. I miss it as well.
Yep. We didn't do the one right here, or by us, all that often. It seems to me, I don't know if it was because it was the last one standing or what, but we would always do that one at Orchard Lake and right at the exit, the three-way exit. I don't know why. Oh, and there was one at Grosbeck. We did that one a lot. But you told me there was one down there where that faux place is, and it turned into Bonanza. For some reason, that one's not registering. I remember the Grosbeck one. We used to do that one, and the one on Orchard Lake.
Yeah, when Becky and I were married, I don't ever remember the one down the street from us here on DeQuinder ever being a Sambo's, but when she moved, Becky worked at Sambo's at 11 and Grosbeck and the one at the foot of the Gratiot exit off I-94 there, which I think is a Cartoons now, or was a Cartoons place, right where those ramps dump onto 12 Mile. Gratiot at north of 12 Mile. And then the one at 12 and Orchard Lake, I remember that one, but that was a small one. And the last time I was through there, which was probably 2 years ago when I went out to see Mike from West Bloomfield, I met him in an area there, and I went by it, and it was called Roberto's then, which is Robert's first name. And, but that was a small little kind of a thing, and not the full-size restaurant like 11 and Grosbeck was, or basically the old Sambo's restaurants that were originally built, because that's what those buildings were from the ground up, were originally Sambo's, and then whatever went in there beyond that. But yeah, we're five places. The old Bonanza, yeah, that's where the last one that I knew of, where the sisters worked at.
Well, when you say Sambo's, I think I've heard of them. I've never been in one. That's alien to me. I remember Silverman's. Don't remember the one on DeQuinter, and that's odd because I've lived right here my whole life. Do remember the Grosbeck one. Do remember the Orchard Lake one, so interesting. Anyhow, that Roberto's, don't bother. It's terrible.
Every time I've gone by the one at 12 and Orchard Lake, it never seemed to be open. I don't even remember it being there when the ex went out there a couple of times to do fill-in work. You're driving where to what? Why? Man, oh man, that's crazy. And she says, well, there's sickness going around or something. They're way understaffed. Someone to be out there today and tomorrow. And I said, all right. But, yeah, she said it was more of a diner than it was a full-size restaurant. But, yeah, and then, like I said, there was one at Eureka and I-75, and then the only other one I know of that either one of the sisters worked at was Chris went down to Eureka and Taylor. She went down there. She transferred down there, got a place down there, and so on and so forth. But that's a haul, too. That's almost a 45-minute drive from, 696 and 94 area. And the other one was 8 Mile in Grand River. There was one there that was rather nice. But yeah, like you say, though, restaurants, I mean, my goodness, the stuff that we've been through over the years and over time. Same thing with Pizza Hut. I remember Pizza Hut, for me, out of high school, was like the hangout place. But the Clock, the Nugget, yeah, I think we're dating ourselves if we remember, especially the Nugget. We're dating ourselves for sure.
some room in there. Yeah, the only clock I remember is the one in Hamtramck. Been to that one a few times. Then Nugget, right there at 12 in the Quinter, which is old Scalapini's. We've actually lived in that place. And then the Rams were in there. But, you know, that whole area right there is my stomping ground. Never really did Pizza Hut. I could probably count on two hands the number of times I've been in Pizza Hut. And I don't know why, because I don't not like it or anything. Just never did. I think if I remember correctly, as a young kid, it seemed expensive to me. And maybe that was it. I don't know. But I just don't know. And then by the time I got, you know, older and it wouldn't have been a factor, I don't know, we just never seemed to do Pizza Hut for some reason.
Oh, I never doubt Pizza Hut. I mean, their pizzas are still great, and they've downsized quite a bit, but just the days of the restaurant with the red roof on the building, and, you know, you go in there and you get those, they have the salad bars and everything else. And my girls were little at the time. As Becky and I were transitioning towards divorce, we still went there and ate a lot. Yes. Now I'm getting hungry with all this good food, but, yeah, the good old days of the 70s and stuff, you know, I mean, I grew up at 696 and 94. My ex-wife's family grew up right there at 11 and Hayes, so the sisters were practically walking to work, even though the one on Grosbeck opened after the one on Gratiot there for Sambo's. But you can look up a Sambo's on the Internet, and you can get a picture of what it looked like. I mean, even through the years, there was very little transitioning of the inside of the restaurant here at Levin and DeQuinder. They didn't really change much to the interior. They didn't gut it, rebuild it, redesign it, or anything. They just basically slapped a new name on the building. And it was Silverman's that changed the greenish and brown colors into the blue and beige colors that restaurant was in the end. How far did you grow up from where you are now? Because you say you know this whole area here. You know, you've been here all your life. I mean, I transitioned from St. Clair Shores on my way out towards Chesterfield. And then I ended up in Harrison Township before I moved out here to Oakland County.
I grew up 1 mile east of where I live now. So I was at 12 and Ryan. And, I was like right, you couldn't be more in the middle of that mile between 12, 13, Ryan and Mound. I was as in the middle of that square mile as you could possibly be.
Okay, I'm just now trying to picture what was there. I remember when the southeast corner of 12 and Ryan originally had a hospital, an actual hospital there at some point. I can't remember the name of it. Then, of course, McComb Hospital there at 12 and Hoover. I watched, that thing just got built in time. It opened up actually, what, October, November, December, January, 3rd, 4 or 5 months before my brother's near fatal car crash. You know, they killed him at not even 19 years of age. But, yeah, other structures, don't remember too many in that area. I remember growing up, I only remember Steiner's Meat Market. I only knew when Steiner's was actually Phil's Quality Meats. Fire Tucks, places like that. But, yeah, memories of 12 and Ryan are there, but not like they used to be. And we used to know people that lived on Jeffrey here in your sub. And I remember watching Universal Mall get built because I could see from their house on Jeffrey straight across the street over to that abstract building. It used to be Key Oldsmobile. And then the mall going up, the movie theater. The James Bond movie Thunderball, I think, was like one of the first movies shown there. That was in the early 60s. And again, I'm aging myself. Oh, boy.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yep, 12 and Ryan. There was a Chatham's grocery store, remember those, and a Friar Tuck's, and it moved from one side of the street to the other, and then the hospital was McNamara. Anyhow, all right, I got to make an order here. Copy all that, McNamara, that was the name of the place, okay. All right, WARCY, standing by. I guess I don't have to make an order. Trying to get a smoothie from Tropical Smoothie Cafe, but apparently they're not open yet.
I believe 7 o'clock is the one at 12 and John R. where I order from, and I believe that's what it is. And it's not even showing up on even... I'm looking at DoorDash right now just to get the time, and it's not even showing. Yep, 7 a.m. is what the hours are for the one at out here by 12.
Yeah, this one says 7 a.m. too. Weird.
Come on, less than 2 minutes. Open up. Open. Yeah, and then the one out here is 8 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, I don't even think, I know McDonald's, for example, don't open at the same time. I have their summer open 24 hours, and they're closed, you know, the restaurant portion's closed overnight, but you can still do a drive-through 24 hours. And I'm not sure about Starbucks, but I don't remember, I mean, the Starbucks by us here opens up at 5, and that's not just the drive-through, but the restaurant. You can actually go inside at 5 o'clock and sit down and have a coffee and read the paper and things like that. The only thing wrong with that is they don't have big screens in there or something like that to watch the news or catch the weather or something like that. But I believe the one in Birmingham, no, it wasn't Birmingham, it was the Java Hut in Birmingham, that's what I remember. Next door to the old Birmingham Theater before it left, they had big screens in there that were, you know, playing the news and so on and so forth. But yeah, Starbucks are different and McDonald's are different opening times.
All right, got my order in, waiting on my smoothie.
I know if you're a fan of Elvis and like peanut butter banana sandwiches and things like that, but they make a breakfast thing called the peanut butter flatbread. Peanut butter, bananas, honey, and granola on a flatbread folded in half, and oh my gosh. That is just so good. And then I do drink a lot of peanut butter smoothies. That's because of you, because when I had all that dental work done a year ago, I couldn't eat solid foods, and you're the one who recommended TSC, and I've been hooked on them ever since. So I give you the credit and the blame for my love for tropical fruit smoothies, for sure.
Yeah, every once in a while when... like this morning, I felt like something cold and kind of, you know, have some substance to it. And this is perfect. Every now and again, get the hankering for one. Getting the mocha something or other this morning. I normally get that peanut butter chai or peanut butter banana chai or something.
Yeah, but like I say, I mean, I usually get a smoothie in a bowl, a peanut butter bowl. It's got bananas, chocolate. You can load it up with whatever you want, basically. But, yeah, those things hit the spot when I had the dental work done last fall. And like I say, the smoothies, of course. With my stomach problems that I was having the last couple of weeks, I've been trying some of their detoxes, and they're not bad. You know, you look at them, and they look, you know, green and yucky, but man, they do taste good, and they do feel good in the tummy for sure. But, yeah, anyhow, like I said, though, the only thing I got going today is I got some specified medication coming, and it's coming, being shipped, not Amazon, not Postal. It's like a medical carrier, and I'm watching, I'm tracking that, because it could be here any time between now and 10 a.m., so I got the tracker on for that. And then in the background, I've got the East Coast Reflector going on. I'm going to get on there and see what the question of the day is, which is, I just pulled it up. What was the last magazine subscription you had? Well, I used to subscribe to a racing magazine called Racer, but I had to drop it because my issues quit showing up. I wasn't getting all my issues, so I ended up ending the subscription. But, yeah. Well, that's about it on my agenda. I don't know what I'm doing tonight for Friday night, date night, so on and so forth. But, yeah, it's just going to be a lazy day.
Well, have fun with that. And, yeah, last magazine, honestly, for me, it's probably the QST. I bet a lot of people are going to say that.
Wasn't there another magazine called CQ or something like that? And then there was Popular Communications or something like that that was more CB and GMRS based back in the 70s and 80s. But, yeah, the only thing I've gotten since I've gotten my ham ticket almost 2 years now would be just the catalogs for ham radio outlet and the other one. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But I remember CQ magazine. I don't know if that's still out there or not.
You know, I still have two. I forgot. I got two that I have delivered to work. Public Safety Communications and Military and Aerospace Electronics. So I still have two subscriptions.
Well, when I was young, I used to get my brother's hand-me-down magazines to Road Track, Car and Driver, Motor Trend, Playboy, things like that. Oh, did I say the P word? I'm sorry. Yeah, but... Anyhow, yeah, I started off with a lot of my brother's hand-me-down magazines, and with me being involved in automotive and racing, yeah, there's not even that many magazines left, and I mean, Racer's out there, and it's 9 magazines a year plus 3 special issues, and over the last couple of years, my magazines just weren't making it to my mailbox, and Racer would send me replacements, no extra cost. And sometimes those don't even make it to me. So somebody likes my magazine, and I just finally called them back and said, well, let's just cancel the whole thing. And unfortunately, I got to do the digital if I want to read it, plus they have a website, so on and so forth, just to keep up on the news. But yeah, good old hand-me-downs of Car and Driver, Road and Track, and Motor Trend magazine were the thing in the day for me. And they still are digital.
There you go. All right, I'm here at work. I'm going to bid you adieu. Enjoy your day, and we'll talk to you later, probably. After yours, W8FU.
Okay, well, it's been about 2 weeks since we last talked, but I was wondering if you had an update on those 4 batteries and to see how they're coming along, if you remember. If not, again, no big deal. If we can salvage 2 out of there, that would be great. All right, have a great day. Enjoy your smoothie. Stay inside. It's going to be another hot one. A little bit of rain, maybe scattered. And all the best. W8RCY. Talk to you later.
Connected to CMN Network.
KPL.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
K-E-A-W-U-O.
Connected to CMN Network.
This is KFA-SKH, looking for QSO. Over.
KPR.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WDKLO and the mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8ITM. KY8M.
And no one cares. Did you mean, who cares?
Who cares?
No, I was just leaving work, and over on P25, I happened to mention that I was particularly flatulent today. And then I queued up over here and said, but no one cares. So, all the rambling thoughts of a madman.
Yeah, speaking of madman, I'm programming my 890. Just updated the firmware.
And that is the 878 replacement, right?
Yeah, the same one Phil's got. I took off the NXDN firmware. I'm just going to use the DMR-only one. I guess there's some NXDN beta firmware makes the DMR kind of slow and unresponsive, so I go, well, I don't want that.
Yeah, it's not worth it. There's just really nothing going on in NXDN, unless you wanted to go wander off in NXDN land of play. Now in Canada, over near, over by Toronto, I heard there's some guys that are putzing with it, and there's probably some other pockets of it. I would imagine that if there's somebody like myself that works for a Kenwood shop that has some, you know, surplus out NXDN equipment, you know, they probably put a little system together and there's probably a popular little, you know, subgroup of it. Looks like P25 is around here. But in general, around here, just ain't really worth it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just going to, I mean, if I really need to get on an NXDN reflector, I got the M1KE, right? So, I mean, there's no actual RF repeaters around here, so there's no point.
Nope, unless people are running at Simplex, which, you know, could be doing that. But, I don't know much about it, honestly. There's a few NXDN systems around. I know Phil tried it on his radio. They service some NXDN systems. So I don't know if he had success with that or not. Probably.
Yeah, it's kind of like Fusion. It's got a narrow version and a wider version. So you get a little bit better fidelity audio, I guess, with the wider one. But, that would be interesting to me, but I think, you know, even if any cross mode is going to still use narrow, so what's the point? But I guess the Anytone 890 is not officially recognized by the NXDN, whatever council that they got, so it's in committee. They got to get, like, over 34 votes to say yes, and so that's why it's unofficial. So they have an unofficial her work for it. This radio I got my eye on, it's capable of, it's a multi-protocol, multi-band radio, but it also, when they say multi-protocol, it's DMR, T25, and NXDN. And you don't have to pick. They're all three available. Oh yeah, which brand is that? Is that Kenwood or something else?
It's a Kenwood. It's part of their Viking line, which is the old E.F. Johnson division. So JVC bought Kenwood, then they bought Johnson, and now it's all being sold under the Kenwood moniker, with the Viking product line being the stuff they're pushing towards public safety and the Kenwood stuff for everything else. So it's the Kenwood Viking.
Very interesting. So multi-band, multi-protocol.
Yep, multi-dollar. Anyhow, Tate's got a more affordable version of that. They're multi-band, multi-protocol. They don't do the NXDN, and the transition from P25 to DMR is not perfectly worked out. It'll do analog and either one of the digital modes, but if you try to scan between digital modes, there's like a delay as it kind of like has to reboot. I mean, it's not a big long reboot, it's just a few seconds or something, but it makes scanning, like if you wanted to scan, let's say, you know, statewide one, you know, the P25 network and a couple of analogs, you really can't do that. You can scan DMR in analog, or you can scan P25 in analog, but you kind of got to do them separately. It'll do all three. It'll do all three quite nicely, but it's got that funky little thing. Wally can probably explain it best, because he's actually got one.
Yeah, I've heard the issues pieced together slowly over time, so I understand. Yeah, the NE2890 is the same way. You got to reboot it to go to NXDN mode, so it's one or the other, no scanning. And so, you know, at that point, why don't you just, you know, why don't you just carry a scanner around with you and then have a bunch of radios just sitting in a box, and if somebody's talking, you just pick up the one you need.
No, there's something to be said about that. And, you know, because these commercial radios that'll do the multi-protocol, multi-band, you know, they're very, very expensive. Even a Tate, which is the least expensive of them all, is expensive. It's a lot of coin. You know, and then, do you see how much the used stuff's going for? So, you know, you pay big dollar for it when it's current, but then, you know, eventually the stuff gets surplus out, and then it's going for pennies and a dollar. You know, it's still up there, but, you know, look at XTS 5000s. You know, those were $3,000 radios. Now you can get for $300. So, there's that.
Yeah, you just get one of those cheap little B-Tech amps like I bought, and you just plug it in your cigarette lighter plug, and you get more, you get 20 watts out of it. So you have a portable, and you have a sort of mobile. You know, not as good as a mobile, because mobile's got, what, 50 watts, 70 watts?
Yep. Well, you know, the real ironic thing is that you can buy a really nice XTL or even an APX radio for, APXs are a little pricey still, you can buy, like, XTLs and then buy a separate XPR radio. If you're willing to run the two radios, you know, then you don't have any scan issues at all, because you've got two radios capable of, you know, the protocols. There's multi-protocol for you. I'm running multi-band, multi-protocol, multi-radio.
Yep, yeah, and I've got a mobile. I got a, what is it, XTL? I forgot what the model is. I just can't find my programming cable. I gotta remove GRMS, and I gotta remove a 2 meter frequency that keeps on, like, every time I drive by, like, industrial park, it, like, stops on it, so. But, yeah, I just kind of wish they were VHF and UHF, so I can only use it with your repeater. I can't use it with the other ones, but, you know, I'm always over here, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I thought if I bought a dual band APX, the APX, the one that does 800 and VHF is pretty, you know, those are relatively, but they're affordable. You can get one of those and do that for your, and then you'd be P25 VHF, and then you could run an XPR for your UHF, so you'd have the appropriate band for VMR. But then I wouldn't have any access to my very own P25 repeater. It's like, well, how can I do that? Because I carry a portable if I really wanted to talk to it. But TJ's repeater works really good, and he's got the receiver in Mount Clemens, so, hey. Maybe that's what I should do. Just take my UHF machine down and put in another receiver for TJ's.
Let me know if you're going to do that, because then I'll start selling my equipment.
I'm not. But, and I could put in a receiver. All I got, if I could come up with a receiver for a VHF P25 receiver, I could put that in Warren. And maybe we can get Wally to put a cap in New Haven. Yeah, yeah.
Would that interfere with his DMR thing, or would that have to come down?
Well, he'd have to he'd have to split the receive side of the, and send, one half of it to the duplexer and the other half to maybe a couple of cans that for the P25 receiver, but no, it's fairly capable. The problem, of course, with that is getting the V.24 down to downtown. And that's always been our problem with the P25 stuff is transporting the V.24 around.
You're connected to CMN Network.
CF8S. Couldn't you, you probably don't want to do this, but couldn't you guys convert it to, like, MMDVM? Still use the same closed network, but maybe use something that's a little more manageable, or is it just you can't get network access there?
Well, if we wanted to give up all the Motorola equipment, you know, Motorola equipment, you know, is all V.24, and the voter, all that stuff, there's a big voter downtown, and all the repeaters come into that, and they're voted, so they act as receivers. Then it goes out and keys up all the transmitters, and all that's V.24, so in order to convert it to IP and MDM-VVN, you pretty much just got to scrap all that, you know, and then you're not dealing with, standard Motorola stuff, now you're dealing with analog conversions with MMDVM boards and stuff. So I don't think there'd be any appetite for it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Keep it in its native format. I wasn't aware that it was also doing that, so that makes sense. But fun times, I guess. I mean, as long as you have equipment and you don't have, it doesn't have to be replaced. But it's too bad you can't, like, have that digital signal just be converted to IP, but yeah, I understand the challenge.
Well, that's kind of what we're doing when we do send it over IP. You know, we encapsulate it in an IP packet and send it, But you know, we use, that was that whole P25NX network that was up and running for a long time. Worked like a charm. And, you know, they would, it was all via 24, but you would take, you had to take a serial connection out of the Quantar. And then that was, went to a Cisco router that had serial capability. And then it would encapsulate it in IP and then send that, and then it would then would undo it and return it. So, so yes, you can using the Cisco routers. Now, I understand that they've got these boards out. And again, we're getting a little bit out of my wheelhouse here when it starts to get into the actual, you know, nitty-gritty of the networking. But I understand that there's a little board now that, that's been made that's supposedly going to eliminate or can eliminate the Cisco router requirement, which I've been looking forward. I guess Fred's got several of the repeaters and cards and stuff like that. And it's just a matter of having time to stage it and see what the hell's what. You know, I guess I could get a couple and start putzing with it a little bit, but, yeah, time and then desire, motivation, all those things are just deal breakers. Yeah, and then will it be used when you're all done with it? It's kind of like, you know, maybe or maybe not, you know, so is it worth your time? It's only worth your time if you're willing to, I guess, learn it and say, hey, I did that.
Yeah, I got no problem with that, but just the time and, you know, there's so many other things I need to do that if I do have time, I shouldn't be starting a new project like that because I know it'll be pretty time-consuming, so we're pretty good with the way it is for now. It's always been a niche thing, as you well know.
Yep. Yeah, you're probably better off spending your time on your all, you know, on the all-star side of things than that, and just leave it the way it is because it works. It's just working. Why fix something that's not broken?
Right. Yeah, I go in spurts on that. I made some progress a week or two ago. Got some stuff done so I can start maybe scripting, doing some running. We could write some scripts that could be remotely ran on the all the repeaters. Looking to do some creative stuff there. So I'll like, you know, get a portion of it done and then I'll take a break from it and then I'll do the next thing. Here's one of those darn those AA8 license plates throw me for a loop. This one's AAAAEV. I know it's not a ham plate, but God, it looks like one to me.
Yeah, I run across a lot of those type of license plates. But yeah, so, you know, the All-Star stuff, as you know, it's either you call asterisk commands or you tap into the AMI interface. So there's like an AMI interface or there's asterisk commands, and for what you're doing, your scripting, you know, asterisk commands are just fine. But if you really want to monitor and play with stuff, it's the AMI interface is the way to go because it streams events at you. That's what the dashboards use and all that. So, but I don't think you really have much use for that. It sounds like from talking to Wally and all that, all you guys want to do is be able to shut things down at certain, you know, automated. You press a button and it does all the things automated without you having to be around.
Yeah, truth be told, AllScan does, you know, the bulk of what we need. With AllScan, it's very easy to use and everybody can have their own login. And they can get in there and they can disconnect and connect and, you know, and all that stuff. So AllScan's been kind of very helpful in that regard. But what they can't do is they can't run a script or, like, you know, what if we got a rogue transmitter or something like that? They can disconnect it, but you know, it'd be nice if they could, you know, kill the repeater, and that is not something that AllScan will support. And then you can kind of do it. You can't really do it with AllMon. Well, I guess with AllMon, yeah, you could probably do it in a you know, in one of the commands, drop-down menu. But John's talking about writing some scripts, and he'll have built right into, like, the, you know, the pay, you know, the interfaces for, like, Skywarn and things like that, or when they run their net, and they, you know, have an individual of a button, and then in the background it will go ahead and, you know, go run some scripts that'll get everything set up the way he wants it. I like the idea. The other one I want is I want to be able to change the courtesy tone on a node. You know, and I can't figure out an easy way to do that. So what I can do is I can record a tone that I'd like to hear, and I can actually log in, have a script play it at X interval, which, believe it or not, that's what I'm looking at. And I'm talking about every minute you log in, have it go beep, and then and then it's done. Every minute it does that when it's in, like, Skywarn mode. So trying to find a more elegant way to do that, and I'm not thinking of it.
Oh, you want it to actually beep every minute, regardless of who's talking, or?
Yeah, I'd like the repeater key up, just do a little beep, or a little beep of some sort, like a little Nassau beep or something, you know, every minute, or every two, or whatever, you know. And, so, you know, right now I'm thinking about having a, you know, pre-qualified SSH go in, run a script. Seems excessive, but it's been working for others.
Yeah, or something that enables, like, you have a cron job that runs every minute, and you just, you disable it when there's no Skywarn, and you enable it when there is Skywarn, and then you don't have to be connected for it to do the thing. But, yeah, I don't know, wouldn't that get annoying, though, if it just beeps every minute?
Well, we do it in public safety. Like, if you've got to, if you've got a situation where you need to keep the air clear, we put out a marker tone, and it's like that. It's still pip, just go pip, and it just, you know, people know that, oh, we're in keep the air clear mode, you know, and you know, it could be the same thing. I mean, it ain't hurting nothing. Just it'll be at some lower modulation, you know, just a little pip, but. I don't think it's all that. I don't know. We'd have to see, you know. But it's not bad for public safety. I don't know if it I would like something that lets everybody know when they get on here that it's in Skywarn mode.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple ways you could do that. You could just have somebody's laptop just sitting there in a loop doing SSH commands for the play, or you can have a cron job, you know, you have to go in and uncomment the cron job and enable it, or I think you can just drop it in a directory. You drop the script in a directory and it'll run every minute. You could do something like that and then remove the file when it's over. So there's so many ways you could do it.
I like the idea of the cron job because that way you're not continuously connecting up, you know, just to run a script. So I do like that idea. The problem is how do I automate that? How do I make it so that people that have no business, you know, getting under the hood of a All-Star installation can push a button or do something very simple and put it, you know, get that script running or make that change to the, you know, make that change to the cron.
Yeah, you almost need like a custom dashboard just for that purpose that you have gated behind logins and things like that, and then all it does is call shell scripts behind the scenes. You know, you put the shell scripts in and calls them and does the thing. But it's kind of like a traffic light, right? You have states, so you got to have monitor what state you're in and stuff like that, so. Can be done. It's just I know you want easy mode and easy to maintain, so that's where it gets interesting. you need to find a, you need to find something you can do all this scripting stuff. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't, you know, I know if I volunteered for it, then I'd be maintaining it forever. So we need like two or three people that are willing to be the people to rotate the load.
Yep, so far the things I've done are, you know, I'm trying to farm out as much as I can to as many as I can, you know, and the things that I've done so far, you know, I'm confident that nobody can really break anything terribly, and that's, you know, I'm on my way there. I got it so that we can go in, you know, we can automate going into all the repeaters and running a script without much incident, and so now we got to figure out how to make it go. I don't know. Well, I go in first. I'll work on a, you know, good portion of it, and then when that's done, then I'll watch cat videos. So I'll be ready to maybe dive into the next step, the next phase coming up here pretty soon. So, we'll see. I got three repeaters that I got to do it on. That's the bear, you know. You can't really do a tail message or a message that propagates over all the repeaters. Because I thought about doing it that way, but that's got its problems as well.
Yes, either that or you create a Skywarn hub. And everything that needs to be part of the Macomb Skywarn, you link up to that, and then that hub is the one that sends out all the messages. Then you only have to do it in one place.
Yeah, I mean, there's a thought, you know, that's a thought. You could have a separate node even on the same hub, right? And just, you know, when that happens, you just move things to the Skywarn hub instead of the, you know, where they... So, yeah, that's a thought, too. A lot of ways to skin the cat. Just they all going to require thinking it all out, figuring it all out, writing it all, maintaining it all. I'm hoping there isn't a lot of maintenance. I'm hoping just get it set up and then call it a day. But, you know, it never works that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, just got to document it, that's all. Document it so somebody else can read it and figure it out later. And you've done all the work and you've documented it. You gotta pretend like you're trying to replace yourself. That's the way you gotta think about it. And you're not trying to, you know, I'm gonna hold all the keys and nobody else did it. You're just thinking about, so I don't have to do it. Here's my documentation, read up on it, get familiar with it. But here's another idea, you know, with the hub idea, you know, the Skywarn hub, you can just leave that Skywarn hub always having that beep message no matter what. You know what I'm saying? You just, like, if it's connected to that hub, it's going to beep.
Yeah, I thought about doing that. I'd have to play around with the, you know, with the telemetry settings. Because I know, like, you know, Fred's got the, you're connected to the CMN network. That propagates over all connected repeaters. So, you know, I'm going to have to look at how I could do that. You know, like, I could have a hub that's constantly running, you know, this beep. And, you know, it would be much like he runs the connected to message. And, yeah, you're right. It might be easier to just move everything over there because I got people that can move things. You know, just automate it a little bit. Yeah, there may be something there. Didn't think about that.
I think that's your easiest because then all people have to know is, oh, I switch over to Skywarn Hub or whatever, and it's already set up to do what you want. You just change the nodes over to that, and you're done.
Yep, good thinking. Good thinking. I'm going to look into that.
There's all sorts of cool things you could do then. You could change your, you have different courtesy tones. Well, no, that's going to be on the repeaters, the courtesy tones. That's always been a problem. If you want to change courtesy tones, you got to go into each repeater and do it, and it's not easy to do. All right, anyhow, I am home. I'm going to back in the driveway here, get inside, and figure out what's next. After yours, W8FU. Keep thinking about it, though. If you think of anything cool, let me know.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's my idea of the day, I guess. But, yeah, and it doesn't even have to be an all-star note. It'd just be a private note, just like you're doing right now. So, all right, talk to you later. KFETA.
W8VD Mobile.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
WAFU, Kate here.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8RJD Mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KCHKGO Ann Arbor.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Echo 8 Romeo Quebec Juliet mobile monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
See you. KX9AJM Chicago, calling on 8FBI.
This is KD8ZSK, is the frequency in use. All right, nothing heard. This is KD8ZSK with the Wayne County Repeater Clout, just looking for a few friends. We won't be long, so AD8FK, how copy?
I copy a good solid 5.9. Oh, I'm only putting out 5 watts on this one here for some reason. Do I need to bump it up?
No, I got a great copy on you on the 5x9, but I got no carrier strength showing on this this channel with this radio, so everybody's going to be something by zero. I don't think the zero is authentic, but it's what I got. Anyway, you are loud and clear, Len. Good work on 5 watts. Let's try NAPVL.
Okay, Keith. Got you 5.9 plus, and I'm running 5 watts, NAPVL.
Great work, Chris. Yeah, you're 5x0 to me. You're loud and clear. So the 5 watts is definitely getting the job done. Lets me think I should back the power down on this one, too. So I'm going to do that a little bit and go over to WSAU.
WSAU, let's see, you're a 5 and 9. I try 5 watts here. Let's see how this does from Ann Arbor.
Go ahead, WSAU, you're going to try 5 watts?
That was 5 watts. I did it at 5 watts, so whatever you heard there was what I got 5 watts back at WSAU.
Oh, gotcha, okay. So it was 5x9 at 5 watts. I'm running the 5 watts now, too, and you're 5x9 to me. Well, 5x0. It's loud and clear. All right, TE8YRZ, Dennis, what do you hear?
I have you 5x9, Keith, 5x9, and I went ahead and tried 5 watts as well. This is TE8YRZ.
Very good, Dennis, because the 5 watts is getting it done. You're loud and clear to me. All right, WN8A, Jim?
Okay, I read you 5x6. 5x6, and this is 15 watts. I'll copy, WN8A.
WN8A, Jim, you are loud and clear. Loud and clear to me, it's a 5x0, but remember, it's my radio. So loud and clear is probably the best way to characterize it, but sounding good. All right, KF8, EBV.
Keith, read you 5x9, 5x9, 10 watts. Let me know if I need a little more.
No, Michael, 10 watts is loud and clear. You're doing great. All right, W88PGV, Dan?
Yeah, Keith, I read you a nice, strong 5.9 plus, and I'm running 20 watts. Back to W88PGV.
All right, well, the 20 watts is working, so you are loud and clear here in the camp. Let's try W8BPA.
This is W8BPA. Keith, I read you 5x9, solid 5x9, and I'm on 15 watts. I'll copy. Back to you.
Loud and clear. Loud and clear in the Canton. So good work on 15 watts, Vladimir. Let's go to N8QIQ.
Keith, you're a full quiet in 5x9 plus. 5x9 plus, half a watt, 0.5.
Wow, yeah, that's all you needed on this one, Jay. You're loud and clear on the half watt, 5x9. Very good. KE5XD, just break squelch. Try it, Dave, can you hear us? Okay, no luck there. Let's try KE8BYC. BYC, Lance, how copy? Okay, nothing heard. How about N8REJ, Rob, what do you hear?
You're all 5.9 triple plus on this one. This is a, like you said, I don't know what they've tweaked on it, but they've done a really good job on it. N8REJ, back to you.
Yeah, this is another one, KC8LTS on the 2.175. It was always a great performer, and then it went silent for a while. And when it came back strong and linked outside. So, all good. All right, with that, many thanks to KC8LTS for the use of the repeater. Our next stop is Simplex, and I'll meet you there. KD8ZFK, clear.
Well, you're KD8ZFK, what? How copy, Keith?
5x9.
Yeah. Connected to CMN Network.
This is Chaos 8 GBB testing.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8GBB, clear.
connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.